William Braze reporting for duty. Fasten your seatbelts. Hold on to your carrots, comrades. A show of strength today. You're about to enter the Lean Braze Throwdown Zone. Accelerating for the simple solutions, we are Avengers of Health. Hide the donuts. You're listening to the Lean Braze radio show at theleanbraze.com on 9/11/11. Welcome, Braze. I'm Ron Jones. I've got David O'Donnell with me today. He's a fellow Russian kettlebell instructor, RKC, from Burbank, California. And he's also a former New York City firefighter, and he was there in September of 2001. And I got to thinking about him the other day because my daughter Alicia was also in New York on 9/11, although Dave flew in a few days later, and he'll explain that in a moment. But I started reflecting on it, and for me, it was a call of strength to do my part in this country to get people more fit and do our best to meet the challenges coming. And now it's been 10 years. So title of our show today, 9/11, A Call for Strength. And David, thanks a lot for coming on today. I really appreciate your time and just talking with us a little bit about fitness today and what you're doing with your new gym down in Burbank. And thanks a lot.
Well, thank you for having me. It's all good.
And you just told me before the show you're on the way to see the New York Yankees.
Yes, they're playing the Angels, so the Angels fans out there, sorry. But they're doing a memorial service, which I think is really cool, before the game.
That's great.
And so, which is great out here that people, sometimes I tend to forget that people out here suffered too.
Yeah, you know, I was all the way out here in California, and actually, the day that happened, I was teaching a fitness class. I lived in Bakersfield at the time, and I was teaching a fitness class at the community college called Shape Up. And I had students from 18 to 92 years old, and a lot of the people in the class were seniors. And I had many of the guys that were World War II veterans. And
wow.
I happened to be the first one to tell them that we had been apparently attacked that morning. And I mean, it's still kind of emotional just to think about, you know, looking at these men that were 80 to 90 years old and knowing what they had been through and seeing that emotion on their face. It was pretty sobering.
Yeah, I would imagine.
But
I was actually in Ecuador. I was building an orphanage.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I remember vividly this woman from Ecuadorian, who was helping at the orphanage. She actually, the way this orphanage was set up is the children's parents who were dying from AIDS would go to this orphanage, and it was almost also like a hospice facility where they would meet their new parents. Sounds a little odd at first, but parents that were dying, they'd had be comforted by meeting the people that were going to be taking care of their children. So they had comfort in that, not knowing. So they knew where their children would be, not because if they wouldn't know, I guess that would be, you know, extra stress on them.
Right.
And they gave the children time to transition into meeting the people that were going to be their new parents.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it was an interesting thing they had set up. So I was there, and we were just building more facility for them.
Mm-hmm.
And this lady that would cook for us and do all this wonderful stuff while we were working there actually came running down this long dirt road. She was crying, and she came running right up to me. And told me what happened. It was kind of surreal.
Were you there with your fellow firefighters, or were you there alone?
No. I was there with other people from a church that I used to attend.
Okay.
So it was so, and then a lot of people from Europe were also there.
Hmm.
So it was a mixed group of people from all over the world and involved in this project.
Yeah. So you knew that day that it had happened?
I found out that day. And, the people that I was with had no idea, like, when they saw how, like, upset or I was due to the fact that I just knew when I saw those buildings come down, just because I had been at the first attack.
Right.
That thousands of people had died.
Right. Right, including, you know, a lot of your friends and...
Yeah, and at that moment,
I
wasn't even just thinking about the firefighters. I was just thinking about everybody, you know what I mean? I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And then my thoughts went to my brother, who's a firefighter, and I knew he'd be down there. And then, obviously, friends of mine, who I knew would be down there. And it was just very surreal for me. Where I was in an area where there's no phones, there's no any of that. And to get to a place where there was phones took me hours to get to. And then to try to get through, that was a whole nother problem.
Yeah, because my daughter Alicia was there, and I'd never been to New York City, so I had no concept of real estate there. I didn't know Manhattan from Harlem, you know, and... She went to Barnard at Columbia, and I didn't know her social schedule. I didn't know if she was hanging out down by the Twin Towers. I had no clue.
Yeah.
And, you know, for hours, we didn't know if she was in the blast or, I mean, it was just a, you know, from here, a very disconnected, horrific kind of experience. But I know you're a hardworking guy, and you mentioned it took days to be able to get back to New York to get to work. To do your part, and that must have been pretty frustrating and difficult,
yeah,
I guess.
I got back in on the 16th as soon as they started lifted the flight restrictions, you know, for whatever the 5 days that planes weren't allowed to fly.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing was they redirected me. I went into Miami, and I had to take a cab from Miami to Fort Lauderdale, and then. From Fort Lauderdale, I went into JFK, and then one of the guys I worked with picked me up, and I went back to my fire town. And the thing is, yeah, I was retired. I've been out. I had snapped my neck at a fire 3 years earlier, so I got out in December 28, 1999,
mm-hmm.
was my retirement date. My neck had been fused from C4 to C7.
Yeah.
Told me to go do something else. So that's when I moved out to California. But on that day, when I flew back to New York, I just went up to my firehouse. I used to work in the Bronx, a 75 engine. I just took guys' gear that were off for the day and went down and started working on the recovery efforts.
Wow.
That was surreal in itself, going from like this third world country and the things we're doing. Down to see, as they call it, the pile, you know. Was,
right.
You know, it was almost like I was having like I was in a bubble, somewhat like an out-of-body experience to be down there. It was like I was very separated apart from it, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
I was there, but it didn't seem like I was there, you know?
Well, it was very surreal, and the imagery from the beams and the smoke and I don't know. It's a very bizarre scene, and I can't even imagine being down in the middle of it. So when you came back a few days later, you grabbed the gear, went down there, and how many days did you stay helping?
I stayed down at Ground Zero for 2 days, and then I actually thought it was best to go represent at the funerals. I went to, I don't even know how many.
Hmm.
A day, I'd be at 2-3 funerals a day.
Wow.
And I did that for 2 weeks. And on one day, I actually went to my, you know, to my old firehouse, and guys had been sitting down at the piles digging or working. You know, that was, so I, you know, you're not supposed to do these things, but I picked up a tour for one of the guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we used to work with. And I did a night tour at the firehouse.
Yeah.
Off the record, of course.
Yeah, I'm sure, of course, yeah.
But it was you know, a crazy time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there were a lot of people down there helping, and when things like that happen, it's, you know, everybody rolls up their sleeves and they do what they can do.
Yeah, you do what you got to do,
Well, you did you get, so you're, I know you've, you know, you're a kettlebell instructor, do TRX, a lot of stuff, and we've done some training together with KBLA and Dr. Chen down there in Santa Monica, and you're a great instructor, and you've talked a lot about, you know, healing your injuries up with some kettlebells. Did you get hurt after the 9/11 stuff, or was that all before?
My injury to my neck was before that. It was 2 years before, two or three, right, because I got out in 99, December 28th, 99.
Is that when you hurt your leg and ankle too, or?
No, that happened just after 9/11. Actually, I was training for a LA County scuba diving course.
Uh-huh.
They have a course that's, I was told, was very rigorous.
Mm-hmm.
So I had been running, and I wound up turning my ankle, and I shattered the bones of my ankle.
Mm.
Then I got it repaired, but it never took correctly.
Right.
I just recently had another surgery to fix whatever problems I had from that.
Okay.
And the only thing that actually helped at all was, to tell you the truth, was the kettlebell stuff.
Yeah, you've used that a lot to kind of rehab all this injury movement issue, from what I've
correct.
Heard. Yeah, great.
Now, I have herniated discs at L4, L5.
Uh-huh.
I have compression fractures at T89. And without a doubt, the kettlebells, 1-2 lets help me with that. You know, I don't have problems with my lower back.
Good.
I don't have problems with, you know, my back, period. And I attribute that to the kettlebell.
Good. And your place is you're down in Burbank. It's called Got Bells. Yeah.
The name of the gym is the Kettlebell Gym.
Uh huh.
And website is gotbells.com.
Yeah, and the phone number there, just so I don't forget, is 818-653-3065.
Sounds good. And that's, I don't even know it.
Well, that's what I read this morning, doing some research. So,
thank you.
Well, like I said, you know, when that happened, I was in the fitness business already, and I just felt very passionate about, you know, trying to help people get stronger, and you know, you've changed careers too, and I don't know. How did that affect you moving forward? I mean, did you...
I've always been a... Well, I was a fireman. Before I was a fireman, like, fitness and sports were always part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
After my injuries, certain exercises and stuff, I just couldn't do with the same vigor, if you will.
Right.
And then when I found the kettlebell, with Dr. Chang, that started turning things around for me,
mm-hmm.
Big time. I couldn't say enough good things about the kettlebell, and so, you know, it's a great tool for conditioning and strength, and it's helped me immensely. I mean, I'm 47, and I wish I would have had the kettlebell when I was back as a fireman, because, you know, may it help me big time.
Right, and there are a lot of firemen using the kettlebell now as a tool.
Oh, absolutely. What a great tool for, like, the nature of firefighting, especially, like, where I worked, or, like, you know, like, structural firefighter.
Right. You know, we're trying to get fire bells on to do a show with us. Czar Horton and Charles Bustos out there in Albuquerque. They're tearing it up with the firefighters, man.
Yeah, because you need, like, strength and endurance.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you do a sprint, you know, like in structural firefighting, it's a little different than, you know, wildland firefighting.
Mm-hmm.
And that strength endurance that the kettlebell gives you, it's just amazing what it would, how it would help you on the fire floor.
Mm-hmm.
Just,
yeah, and I was talking to another firefighter that was there in 9/11, and he uses the kettlebells down on the East Coast for some of his people.
Uh-huh.
And he was talking about the oxygen tanks and utilization rates that,
the air tanks. Just,
yeah, their air tanks, how he can last longer under air because he's got a better, more efficient cardio system with a kettlebell training. I thought that was kind of an interesting perspective.
Yeah, because with the breath, you know, it's just how, it helps you with the breathing, and focusing on your breath, you know, and the way the hard style does that. Definitely makes sense that it helps him with his breathing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
How did you find the kettlebell?
Online. I remember years and years and years ago looking at stuff Pavel had written, and was saying, "Oh, I gotta check some of this stuff out."
Uh huh.
And just one day I saw that, you know, online that Dr. Chang was doing a class down in Santa Monica. And I said, I got to come down there and check it out.
Yeah.
I like the way he taught. I like his style. Two gentlemen. And
yeah.
He knows his stuff. And, you know, I'll watch him for that.
Yeah. Yeah, we learned a lot.
He got me excited about kettlebells. And now I have a real passion for it. Even, like, I talk about that, like, at my gym, we also do TRX, which is another great tool that I have passion for. The two of them are, you know, go great together.
Yeah, and how long has your gym been open? And again, we're talking about David O'Donnell's gym down in Burbank called the Kettlebell Gym, and gotbells.com is his web address. What's about a year, it's 2 years?
Year and a half.
Year and a half.
And, I don't advertise. Everything is by word of mouth.
Uh-huh.
And with the way it's set up, it's very family-oriented. So I have some couches and stuff set up, coloring books and stuff for kids to play, you know, toys they can hang out and play with, so their parents can bring their kids. And it's not like, you know, you go to a regular gym and they take them off to some room.
Right.
Actually, you get to watch your mom and dad train, and you see what they're doing. So you hopefully, as the kids get older, it kind of carries over to them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a very important mission here at the Lean Berets, is helping children get fit and strong and get away from this child obesity stuff. In fact, we're getting ready to do a series of shows on the vanishing physical education programs in this country starting next week. So I'm glad the kids are down there and they're watching adults lead by example, basically getting some sweat on.
Yeah, and the way it's set up, it's like we work hard, but we also, it's fun.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Not all like trying to kill yourself. It's about functional fitness, and the kids see this, and they see their parents have, you know, that it can be enjoyable. And then after class is over, people will sit around and they'll talk. I have an area where they can do that, and
yeah.
I'll let the kids come out. They'll play on the TRX, and I'll do some stuff with them just for fun, to make it really fun, just so they feel comfortable. And you know, I don't get into too much with them, but like just playing on the TRX to get them moving. We'll do some stretching and different things just to let them know it's a good thing.
Yeah, we'll have to come down one day with the Turbo Twins. They're eight, so.
Oh, they'd love it.
Yeah.
They'd love the place. It's a nice little place. We never have more than 10 in the class. That's the way it's set up. It's a very intimate, friendly place.
Yeah. No, I look forward to coming down, and definitely Candace will be down for that TRX cert. Well, this has been, it's been great. I mean, I was setting up for the show today, and I think a lot of Americans, as they flash back and see things on the television today and kind of remember where they were at for my generation, you know, it's one of those pivotal moments. It was kind of emotional, you know, just setting everything up and thinking about everything that happened. And I know it's hard for you to talk about it, but I appreciate you coming on and telling us a little bit about, you know, what happened there and the strength that Americans had to have, and also some people from other countries that were helping us out as well. And,
absolutely.
And I wish you the best in your new gym ventures and moving forward with that passion. You know, after living through something like that, I'm sure, you know, you have a little appreciation for still being here, and there must be a purpose for your life. And I think you're living that through some strength training down there at your gym in Burbank for sure.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I wish I could have shared more. It's just a weird thing for me to talk about.
Yeah, well, hang on. I'm gonna chat with you just a little bit after I close out here. But anyway, this has been David O'Donnell from the Kettlebell Gym down in Burbank, and his web address, if you're down in Southern California and want to go down and get some nice training with Dave, it's gotbells.com. His phone number is 818-653-3065. Thanks again, Dave.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Lean Braze Radio Show at theleanbraze.com. Music today provided by Stanley J. Tucker. Until next time, stay strong. Never forget.